Another exclusive live session with the Hype Magazine.
You need to stop what you're doing. Pay attention.
World famous
Hype Magazine. Going down right now.
Hey, what's good, everybody, and welcome to another live session with the Hype Magazine's Jerry and Just Jay. Today, we're celebrating an uplifting moment in Women's History Month. We have the newly elevated Kashawn Powell. She is now the Vice President of Programming for Radio 1, the first female to hold this position, and it happened last month in February, but we're getting a chance to document it today during Women's History Month. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
You've had a long and storied career in radio. Let's talk about...
makes me sound old.
Here we go.
No, a little Thursday humor. Okay, sorry.
We're going to say you're seasoned.
Seasoned, yes.
I mean, starting from an assistant, now rising through the ranks. To be at basically the top spot for the Washington, D.C. cluster and beyond. Let's kick it off. You kicked it off at the box. Shout out to Houston.
Yes, H-Town.
I got to do that one. What does it mean to you to be the first woman to hold this position for Radio 1?
You know, it means so much, probably more than words can describe, because the company was founded by a woman. And to be able to have a seat at the table with the men and be a part of, you know, some of the decision-making for various markets, I mean, it means so much, and especially just thinking about, like you said, I started as a research assistant in 92, and surprisingly enough, I wasn't even interested in radio. I was just looking for a part-time job because I was in college and, you know, wanted to move off campus and blah, 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 and was like, all right, you know, knew somebody that knew somebody. And then it was like, boom, love at first sight. And so to think back on that start and to be here, like I just said, it just I can't even really put it into words.
Talk about some of the numerous challenges that women face in an industry that's dominated by men, and now that you're, as you said, taking a seat at the table.
You know, numerous challenges along the way. Probably the biggest challenge is fighting to be heard. And things that I've encountered is, you know, in big meetings and whether it's with clients or what have you, and folks come in and they automatically kind of dismiss you and direct their conversation to the men. I've dealt with that. And then the flip side of it is, you know, men who feel like they have to flirt with you or charm you. You know what I'm saying? So it feels like you're not taken as seriously all the time. So I've encountered, you know, a lot of that along the way. But been able to...
A lot of misogyny.
Yeah. But, you know, been able to kind of push my way through it without, you know, being labeled the, you know, black bee or whatever. But, you know, kind of put people in their place respectfully and professionally.
That goes along with having some self-esteem situations. The guys have no self-esteem. They feel like the only way that they can maybe connect with the young woman is to come at them from a disrespectful platform as opposed to recognizing them as an equal part of the brain trust, so to speak.
Absolutely. So I think that's still something that, you know, we have to continue to work to make sure that men understand that, you know, that's not the road to take. You know, we're your equal. We, you know, have the same ideas, we have the same opinions, and we should be heard, and you should approach us as you would a man. So.
Okay.
Definitely. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you coming in with this new position, I mean, what should we expect? What are you coming in to, I guess, reevaluate? Because with a position like that, it's always a reevaluation period. Like, what's going to be new?
Well, you know, it's hard to say now because this is week two of the position, or three or whatever. So it's hard to say, you know, what's going to be new. But I do think, you know, being able, like I said earlier, being able to be at the table and to be a part of decisions that are being made. And, you know, we are our brands are targeted to women. So what better person to have at the table than a woman who is, you know, in the demographic, to be able to say, well, no, that doesn't really speak to me as a woman.
Right. Right. I'm really excited for you. This is major. I mean, and you know, with Miss Kathy starting this years ago.
Yeah.
This is really what got me excited about being a publisher. So I'm really excited to be on the line with you. I actually jumped on the line today because I'm like, I want to be on the line to hear her voice.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm very excited, too, for similar reasons, because I look up to Ms. Hughes even before I worked in her company. And now, you know, being in the D.C. cluster, and she's right across the street in our corporate office, and on any given day she is in my office. And it's like, this is Kathy Hughes.
Yeah,
but she's, you know, so smart, and she's given me such great advice and been such a support system. And, you know, when the promotion, you know, was finally announced, she called me and, you know, gave me some great words of wisdom. And I'm just like, wow, like, is this really my life?
It's definitely your life. You definitely done earned it to be there. So, definitely. So, I mean, you know, what – I guess, where are you headed? You know, this is a position. This is, are you going to advocate? Are you going to start doing more public engagements? Where are you headed?
Well, I mean, first and foremost is you know, super serving the markets that I cover, which is, you know, D.C., Philadelphia, and Baltimore. So, you know, super serving those markets. And then, you know, whatever is next. I'm ready for whatever the next challenge is within this situation. So if it's part of, you know, doing public engagements, you know, Janine, who you guys have spoken with, she's been pushing me to do more of that even before now. So I'm finally kind of listening to her. Yeah, because, you know, she was just talking to me about how important it is, you know, that other women can hear from me. So, and I get it. I understand that, you know, because I've always been a truly behind the scenes. Like, I want to make my mark behind the scenes. But if, you know, me being a little bit more in the public eye is going to help, you know, the 20-year-old Kashan understand that, hey, I can move up the ranks and really be a part of the decision-making team, then, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to change a lot of lives, definitely.
As they're, you know, starting to look to you as, and you're part of history now, whether you whether it's had a chance to marinate or not.
Yeah.
you're literally part of history. How do you address young women with aspirations of working in the media and entertainment, and how do you direct them to break into the industry?
I mean, you know, working hard, being persistent, and being open to doing whatever job is available. And like I said, you know, mine was really just kind of by accident. I wasn't a communications major looking to do it. I just happened to get lucky, be right place, right time. But once I got in the door, it was, hey, Kashan, can you do this? Hey, Kashan, can you do that? I was like, yeah. And at first I didn't even really, you know, it wasn't even about, oh, I'm trying to work my way up. It was just like, I want the hours. You know, you're 19. But, I mean,
right.
But then when I start, right, I'm trying to go to the mall next week. But, you know, but then, you know, very quickly I was promoted. I think after 6 months I was promoted to research director. And that's when it really started sinking in, like, whoa. Like, okay, this could really be something. So just, you know, being available, being open, and being open to learning whatever, you know, whatever is there for you to learn.
So can I just get a basic trajectory, you know, of a career in media and entertainment from your perspective?
Um, you know, I guess that's kind of hard because no two paths are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is quite interesting, just kind of going back on when I first started, and I remember, because I've never been an on-air personality, and typically you're not a program director. You don't get that spot unless you've been on the air, but I just knew that that wasn't really my skill set. And I remember when they promoted me to music director in Houston, one of the mix show DJs said to me, well, I don't know, you know, what you think you're going to do after this because you're not on the air, so you're never going to be a program director. And it crushed me. And it had me kind of doubting myself as I, you know, continued to work. And even when I was promoted to assistant program director, I'm like, ooh. You know, because he was older. He'd been in radio for longer than I had, so he knew what he was talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, he really didn't. So I don't think, you know, you can really, like, sculpt out a path and just say this is how it happens. I just think you go in there and you work, you learn, and you know what you're doing and you know what you're talking about.
Definitely.
So that's in line with longevity.
This is
how you stay in the business.
Yeah. That's absolutely how it is. You make yourself you know, as valuable as you possibly can to the team, especially now when, you know, there are fewer jobs than they were in the early 90s. You know, the budgets are a little bit tighter. So there aren't really a lot of, you know, assistant music directors and not even a lot of music directors. But you still have to be creative in how you figure out, you know, your way. Like now, we have a ton of promotions assistants, and, you know, some of them are really passionate about what they're doing, but there are some that are interested in the programming side. So, you know, just figure out how you get your foot in the door. I think that's the biggest thing.
Definitely.
That is the biggest thing. A lot of people don't know what questions to ask, and so, therefore, we're asking them for them, you know, how do we get our foot in the door? And I think that you've answered that pretty succinctly, you know, just go in, apply, start with whatever's available. If you have a skill set that works with it, go
absolutely
for it. Even if it's a research assistant, production assistant, you want to be on the promo team, the street team, get your foot in the door and create the relationships.
Absolutely.
And be respected. Okay.
Yeah. So now I got a question, too, before you. Oh, go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Jump right on in, Jay.
You know, I'm ready to have fun. I'm wanting to ask her, you know, basically, like, when you're going through them bad days, since we're talking about music and radio, what's the songs that get you back aligned with yourself?
Oh, you know what? Because I love music, so it could be anything. And it's so crazy you ask me that, because Monday I had a really long day. And I woke up just exhausted Tuesday, and, you know, and I had encountered some things that kind of gotten under my skin. And I was just like, So I started listening to James Cleveland. So I'm all over the place. This morning I was, you know, on my way in.
Now you're telling us about your seasoning.
Well, but you know what? I've always been an old soul. I'm the youngest of six, and they're all a lot older than me. So I kind of, you know, contribute that because I've always been around just much older people. But yeah, I love music. I love gospel, you know, jazz, hip hop, blues. You know, I'm from the South, so love some blues. But
okay.
This morning I was listening to Hotel California by the Eagles. So, you know, it just depends.
Okay, you like that song. Okay.
I just like music. You know, it can be some days I might be listening to old school N.W.A.
Man, because I know music.
That's for volumes.
Huh?
Yeah, for real.
I said that's for volumes right there.
Why do you say that?
Because you got verse.
Well,
for real.
Verse for real. It's I'm going through some things. I got James Cleveland, and then some days I'm not really feeling it. So I got some N.W.A. for you. Yeah.
Ready for war.
It was so funny. I know it was a couple of years ago on Valentine's Day. I remember posting something on Instagram like, okay, y'all can have your love songs. This is what I'm listening to. And it was Tupac, Ambitions of a Ride. So my friends were like, really? I'm like, well, that's just what I'm feeling today, okay? Sorry.
So even speaking of friends and stuff, like going through these transitions, you know, I know when I first started the magazine, it was I lost a lot of friends, but the friends that I've held years and years have been around since I was like 12. Like, how did you balance your life getting into this? 'Cause I know you put a lot of hours in.
Yeah. You know, I don't believe you can lose friends, because I don't think they were friends if you lose
right.
them. So I've got a crew that inside the business and outside the business. My very best friend, we've been friends since we were 8 years old. And she has been rocking with me every step of the way. She works. She's a teacher at a high school in Orlando, Florida. So you can talk about two very different careers. We have very different personalities, and that's my sister. And, you know, been rocking with me through everything. And vice versa. But, yeah, I have a small circle, but, you know, they're very supportive. They're my biggest cheerleaders. You know, they see things in me that I don't see in myself, because one of my friends predicted this would happen. I'm like, whatever.
Wow.
I'm good. I'm good being the program director. I'm good being the operations manager. She's like, okay.
She said you're going to grow.
Yeah.
So what was your original idea going into college? What was you attempting to go towards?
Accounting.
What?
Yeah.
That, well, you can count your checks, but I mean,
yeah.
That's a whole different scenario.
From the time I was probably 14 or 15, I was like, I want to be an accountant. And, you know, because my personality is very black and white. And, you know, so, of course, with numbers, it's either right or it's wrong.
Right.
And so, you know, and I'm like, all right, that's a solid career I can make. And, you know, I always know that I could probably have a job. And that was what I wanted to do. And so, of course, you can imagine that conversation when I told my mom I was working at a radio station. She was like, what? That's a real job?
Man. That's better than me. You wanted to be an accountant and I wanted to be a hustler. I was out here trying to figure out every scam possible when I was younger.
Oh my
then
God!
I turned 18, and I was like, "Wait a minute, you can probably go to jail for some of the things I'm
thinking."
Yeah,
maybe so. Now that's funny.
Oh man.
No, okay. You know, it was something steady, and I just, you know, and I grew up in a really small town in northeast Texas called Marshall, Texas, probably 25,000 people. So I loved, you know, growing up there, but I knew that I wanted to get out, and I wanted to, you know, see what else the world had to offer. So, you know, in my mind, I think I was like, okay, this is something that's stable, and, you know, I'll be able to earn a good living, and, you know, I won't have to live in Marshall for the rest of my life. I think that's kind of how I was thinking, but, you know, God had something different for me.
I heard that.
Well, success is earned. You worked hard. You have, you know, gone from the streets to the suite, so to speak.
I like
and,
that.
So as we're celebrating Women's History Month, I got to know, your network. Tell us a little bit about your network of women that are changing the face of the industry.
My network would be, on the radio side, would be Thea Mitchum. She's the executive vice president at iHeartMedia. And, you know, we've kind of come up through the ranks in the game together. Juliet Jones, executive vice president at Atlantic Records. And they, you know, they've been doing their thing for a long time as well. And I really, you know, look up to them. I respect them. I get advice from them, both personal and professional, you know, cause again, mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough being a woman in this business. But it's also tough being a woman trying to date or have a, you know, family life in this business. So, yeah.
It is difficult for everybody that
has. He's laughing. They don't understand us, girl. They don't.
It's tough. It's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I confess that as a man, I can't express that I understand your experience as a woman. That's something that I can never say, oh, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier, in my opinion, for us. Would you agree or no?
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely easier for you all. Yeah.
Definitely. But, you know, one good thing about Jerry, you know, I started the hype. I was 22. Jerry's been rocking with me for 5 years, and he is the first man that has come into the business, and he hasn't tried to chop my head off.
Wow.
You know, or take
yeah.
over.
Right,
so
right.
So it's been, we call him Grumpy Grampy because he's grumpy. But as far as, like, me feeling safe and knowing that regardless that he's going to chop somebody's neck off about me, you know, I couldn't have picked a better person to go side by side with me on this. So I actually was very excited because everybody's like, man, you need to get more women around you. And I was like, well, the men in my life are different. They actually cater to me, and they let me go on my little tangents, my 6:30 meetings in the morning.
Oh,
and I'm calling everybody, waking them up, talking about what's going on with this. You know, they really respond a little bit different than most men. So I was blessed, you know. But he's definitely experienced and witnessed me being circumvented and going through all kinds of craziness with men. He was floored a couple of times, like, really? This goes on? I'm like, yes, it stresses me out.
And that's interesting because Russ Parr is that to me. Like, he's been such a cheerleader for me, and, you know, he would get angry about certain things that he felt like, you know, were sexist for me. And I'm like, Russ, it's cool. You know, we're going to push through. It'll be fine. But so it's important to have that balance, you know. So, yeah, I definitely have my female circle, but I also have my male circle.
Wow, Russ Parr. I met him years ago when I was first starting the magazine, and he says, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, youngster. If you last 10 years, you'll be okay. He said, but they're not going to give you the respect until you have longevity. You're just coming out, and you want to kick down the doors, but you actually have to have some longevity under your belt. And I'm like, wow. And I respected it so much that I didn't complain when people kind of shun me to the side, because I heard it from someone of his stature saying, you know, you got to wait your turn.
Yeah.
So, you know, our turn is
coming.
Yeah. And I've earned my way. So it's definitely a blessing to meet people like him. So he's a part of my memory bank with someone who actually motivated me. So that was a great name to bring up.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Russ. I love working with him. And, you know, he's been a big supporter of mine. And we actually just started working together about 3 years ago because he was mornings for WKYS. And, you know, I was at the time just programming Magic. And when we made the switch to move him over, in my mind, because, of course, you know, talent, you know, he's a vet. I'm like, oh, God, what is this going to be? Mm-hmm. And day one, it was just an amazing friendship, relationship, working relationship. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him.
Wow.
We want to respect your time. We know that you have a lot going on. Vice President of Programming. And you got a three-state block. People say, oh, D.C. is not a state. Yes, it is. It's a whole state unto itself. A very busy state. So I wanted to ask, is there anything that you wanted to cover that we might have not touched on?
No, I mean, I've enjoyed the conversation, and I think we've covered everything. You know, and again, it's to, if I could speak to the 20-year-old Kashans out there, it's work hard. You know, work hard, make yourself valuable, learn everything. You never know, you know, because, again, I didn't see this in my future. I just wanted to be an amazing, successful program director. And, you know, but I'm always asking questions. Well, why, you know, why is this happening this way? Well, we could probably do it this way. And, you know, and I think some of those things, you know, stick out and people notice it. Even when you don't think people are paying attention, they are.
Okay. Where can, since we're talking to the young ladies, where can they go to find more information on careers with Radio 1, Urban 1?
Urban1.com. And it's the number one.
Okay. straightforward. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. The Hype Magazine live sessions today with Jerry and Jay. Just Jay, we have had the newly crowned Vice President of Programming, Ms. Kashan Powell. She is DC Operations, came from being the DC Operations Manager for Urban One to the Vice President of Programming. First female ever to hold this position. Women's History Month, we got a chance to talk to a living piece of history. Thank you so much for all that you do and for cutting the path through the jungle, so to speak, and laying the breadcrumbs through the maze so that people can, like yourself, young ladies, can find their way to the end. We want to thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Jerry, yeah. I think since you got on the phone with her, you've been putting on your radio voice because you've been sounding like really radio.